Daniel is one of the most maligned prophets in the Bible because he has some of the most powerful prophecies in the Bible. Quite remarkable at some of the things that Daniel says. Chapter 9, verse number 24. But always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ called Daniel a prophet. Amen. He did. And since, my dear friend, he is God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, I fully receive what he has to say. Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 24, here's what it says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Father, bless this word now in thy name. Amen. Then he continues on with the definition of this. And it's quite a remarkable thing when you think about the fact that 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, here we have a prophet prophesying to the very day that he rode that donkey into Jerusalem. So how do you get that? How many's ever heard of Sir Robert Anderson? Sir Robert Anderson was a British intelligence officer. He would be what you would call a Sherlock Holmes. He was in Scotland Yard. He wrote a number of books. One was called The Coming Prince. And Sir Robert Anderson was very good with mathematics. As a matter of fact, he has, and I have his paper here, all the calculations and formulas he used to come to the date of April the 6th, A.D. 32, as the date that the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, which of course would bring you to the time of the cutting off of the Messiah, the Mashiach. Now, I'll leave this up here, and if any of you'd like to see this, and some of you might be good at math, and you'd like to work through this and make a copy of it and work at the information, you're certainly welcome to. Let me say this to you, and I've said it 1,000 times, say it again. The archaeologist is your friend. History is not your enemy. Science is not your enemy. Science, falsely so-called, which this world worships today, has a big problem. Amen. But I believe the Bible, and my friend, I believe it from cover to cover, and it does not make me think of myself as stupid and ignorant. I believe the Bible. So 70 weeks, the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, we find in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. Now, on Wednesday night, you folks been coming and you've been listening to some of the teachings that I've given. I told you how from the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, we have Hebrews, little young teenage boys that were carried away into Babylonian captivity, 586 B.C., by Nebuchadnezzar. And four of them, we have Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They changed their names and tried to change their identity. They changed their diet, and they wanted to change their gods. And yet they refused for that to happen to them. Amen. Now, make no mistake about it. That's exactly what they're trying to do to you today. They want to change your identity. They want to change your name. They want to change your God. And this is something that you need to be aware of, because the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge in the book of Hosea. So the ninth chapter of Daniel deals with the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. And just to accept this as a fact, that 500 years before Christ was born, this comes out and it can be traced right down to the very birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is an astounding thing. This is prophecy fulfilled. And I want to leave it up here for you, because some of you may be interested in seeing that. We read in the book of Daniel of four successive Gentile kingdoms. 606 B.C. in the plains of Dura, Daniel had a vision. He interpreted the vision for the king. And it started with Babylon. Then it went to the Medes and Persians, the Grecians, and then finally the Romans. And we know the Roman Empire was split in two. You had the eastern section and the western section. And to this day, we still are dealing with the issue of the Roman Empire and its effect on what we do today in our lives on this earth. So in the book of Luke, chapter number 21, I want you to turn there with me this morning, and we're going to jump forward quite a few years. And the book of Luke, chapter number 21 and verse number 25. Now, I, with no apology, say that I am a dispensationalist. And the reason I am, one of the reasons, is because the Apostle Paul said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. A dispensation is a period of time where God deals with men according to a set standard, rule, a covenant, or whatever it is. And so these dispensations are crucial in understanding the Bible, in rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if we do not deal in the scripture in dispensations, then we have scripture sometimes butting heads, appearing to counteract each other, or you know what you have, what have you. All kinds of problems begin to develop. And friend, the problem's not the Bible, the problem's in me. Luke chapter number 21, verse 25. Now look at this carefully with me. And there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now note carefully verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Why? Watch it, answer it. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Obviously, then, the scripture says that something is going to be happening that causes men to fear and quake to such an extent that they would have a heart attack or heart failure, and this is what's coming. Now, you know as well as I do, in 2019, COVID-19 came out. Most say that it came from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. Now, who am I? I just read the news. You know, I read the papers like you do, so forth and so on. But the truth of the matter is, millions of people died because of this plague that came on the earth. Millions. And it was quite a thing at the time for them telling you of all that were dying and showing you throughout the world what it was doing to nations. And from that, certain things were put down upon this nation and causing people to do certain things. Jobs were lost. Kids were taken out of school. Some of them are still behind. And various things happened because of this. But what I marvel at to this day and still do, and I hope maybe some of you do, is why that there was really no concerted effort to find out where this came from and why it came upon us. If you have millions of people dying, don't you think that's worthy of checking into? That's a lot of people. So it causes me to believe that there might be a cover-up involved in this. And of course, if we have that, then we get into the issue of conspiracy. They've already demonized the word conspiracy. So if you are if you believe in conspiracy theories, you're a nutball, and they push you out in the peripheral. But the bottom line is, I will not let the news media, I will not let the government, I will not let this culture of today define terms to me and hang names on me. I'll still read my Bible, and I'm going to believe what I read in the scriptures. That plague came from somewhere. It had a reason in its existence, and maybe in time we might find out. But as we look at the Bible and we read in the book of Luke chapter number 21, we ask ourselves this question: where does this fit? What are we talking about here? Matthew chapter 24, the counterpart to it. Where does this fit? How does this fit in the Bible? Does that apply to us? Well, the scripture is pretty clear about us. When I say us, I'm talking about the church of God. The Lord Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to get us. And he tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians that we are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. He's going to come and get us and carry us away. The Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So this change has to do with something that's different. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle says, it's a mystery. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. So this mystery that the Bible's talking about in the New Testament, I told you, I am a dispensationalist, and this has to do with mysteries, revelations from God. And so I'll accept what the Lord says about his body, his church, the church of the living God. Now, let me explain to you what the church is not. The church is not a building, and the church is not a bunch of physical bodies. We got a bunch of bodies in here this morning. How many is in a body in here this morning? Raise your hand. How many not sure? You see, this is 2024. We got people that don't know if they have a female or a male or what they are, somewhere in between, headed from one to the other, what have you. In other words, we're headed off the deep end, folks. That's insanity, okay? Get a hold of that. All of this transgender stuff and fluid identity, fluid genderism and all, that is insanity. I don't know if you'll buy it. I don't know if you believe me or not. But you've lost it. You've lost it. And so we're dealing with an issue of who we are, where we are, what's going to happen to us, and what the future holds. Now, how many of you in this house today feel inside your soul that it's just not the way it used to be? Now, we look at the signs of the coming of the Lord. And one of the signs, he said there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Well, we know that. We know right now that Israel's being threatened by Iran. We know that. And I don't know what's going to happen. Iran says they're going to strike them somewhere, somehow, when, I don't know. But we do know this. We do know that America has moved warships in the Mediterranean, and they are moving toward that area. We understand that. And so we know that at any moment, a war can break out. That's been my lifetime. Been through that. I was in the military during Vietnam, so I understand all about wars. But there's got to be more. There's got to be more specific things that we can look at to identify the culture that we're living in today that would give us reason for concern to say, you know what? These are things that are not common in history. We cannot go back in history and pinpoint this. And I'm going to give you a few of them this morning, and I hope you listen to me. First of all is artificial intelligence, okay? So what is artificial intelligence? Well, here's what they say. It refers to computer systems capable of performing complex tasks that historically only a human could do, such as reasoning, making decisions, or solving problems. Another says artificial intelligence is referred to as a machine intelligence, and it is rooted in binary codes and mathematical algorithms. Let me tell you something about an algorithm. I don't know how you use computers. I don't know how many of you use search engines and you search the web. But I noticed in doing this that I typed in some phrases and some words to search on the internet, and I could not pull them up. Now, how many of you are computer literate today? You're following what I'm saying. An algorithm has kicked them out. In plain words, the search engines have come along and said, that's not important anymore. And so when you run your search criteria, we're not going to give you a response to that. Somebody's made a decision. Now, I'm not saying that all search engines are like that. Didn't have time to get into all of that. Download a bunch of search engines. But you could not find them. It began to dawn on me that somebody was controlling access to information. Digest that for a moment. Amen. They're controlling access to information. And so we have a situation going on here that artificial intelligence, one definition, another definition. And the truth of the matter is I've read a half a dozen of them or a dozen, studied them, prayed over them. And the truth is I'm still at a loss in a lot of what artificial intelligence really is. It's bigger than a computer. It's bigger than software. It's more than simply binary code. It has to do with something that is up here in the mystery realm. Artificial intelligence is something that I think that even the creators of it are beginning to wonder, maybe they created something that's just a little beyond their ability to control. And that's the issue that's facing us this morning. This is why you get this warning. This is the report released this week by Gladstone, Alabama. Now this week, March 12, 2024, that's pretty current. Gladstone, Alabama flatly states the most advanced AI systems could, in a worst-case scenario, pose an extinction-level threat to the human species. Now, some fellow down on Hey Boy Corner didn't say that, folks. This was said by the movers and shakers. Here's another one. AIs could be used by malicious actors to design novel bioweapons more lethal than natural pandemics. You just went through a bioweapon. That's exactly what happened. That's right. Increase the ability. I forget the terminology they used. Gain of function. Thank you. Gain of function. Gain of function. Gain of function. In other words, make it much, 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 much stronger than its normal state. What does that mean? You're making a weapon out of it. We're making bioweapons today. Artificial intelligence. Now, here's some of the warning. Now, the date on that, June 5th, 2023. Here are some of the dangers of artificial intelligence. Automation spurred job loss. In other words, you may lose your job to a robot. We have this, who's this man who builds the cars from South Africa? Musk. Musk is telling people now, he says, get ready for artificial intelligence. We'll take care of the manufacturing and the jobs and all of that. And this is what's facing people today. You realize what that's going to do to the culture, your culture, buying and selling your foods where you live. Artificial intelligence, therefore, can be used for deep fakes. What's a deep fake? A deep fake is a photograph of you with a bunch of prostitutes and sent out to people and say, I'm gonna blackmail you if you don't pay X number of dollars. This is a photograph of you with these prostitutes. Now, wait a minute. I haven't been with any prostitutes, you say. I haven't anything to do with any of that. Now, you don't have to. Artificial intelligence has the ability to put you where they want you. Artificial intelligence can take your voice and recreate your voice where even your wife or your husband cannot tell the difference. Artificial intelligence can put you in a video, and we're just at the beginning of it. You wait till they perfect it. It's coming to the point now where in a court of law, and I know lawyers have been thinking about this, the rules of evidence, as they say. What are they going to do in a court of law when you can no longer accept a photograph or a video or an audio recording? That's where we're coming to. That's artificial intelligence. I'm not talking about Disneyland. I'm not talking about theoretical. I'm telling you it's concrete right now. I'm talking about control. He makes those on the face of the earth that buy or sell to receive his mark in the right hand or their forehead. Where the whole world's being set up, folks, for the mark of the beast. I don't know what the mark of the beast is. When we find out who the beast is, we'll get his mark. Amen. I don't know what it is, but I'm not worried about it because he's taking us away from here. Hallelujah to God. Artificial intelligence, privacy violations. Privacy violations. You see, all of these things that can be used for good can all be also be used for bad. And for the sake of time, I mean, it take me all day to go through all this stuff. I think I'm getting the message over to you, am I not? Algorithmic bias caused by bad data, socioeconomic inequality, market volatility, weapons automation, and uncontrollable self-aware AI. That's scary. What's that mean? Sentient. It means that the artificial intelligence reaches a state to where it realizes it is an entity and it begins to make decisions on its own for itself. Yes. Oh, you say, preacher, that's wild. No, it's not wild. I'm telling you, if you'll do just a little reading and research on your own, you'll find out. Now, here's what Stephen Hawking said. And by the way, Stephen Hawking, he died with ALS. They told him when he contracted it in the 60s, he only had 2 years to live. Obviously, he lived for decades after that. And he was considered by many to be second only to Einstein in his intelligence, a very brilliant man. He said this, he repeatedly warned about the threat of climate change, artificial intelligence, population burden, now listen to this one, and hostile aliens. Now listen to this, a study by Harvard social science researchers suggests that aliens may have been living on Earth for a while. Didn't come from Hey Boy Corner. This came from Harvard scientists. And they say that aliens are possibly living on this Earth now. Another research paper says, it's yet to be peer reviewed, suggests that life forms from other worlds could be living underground on Earth or within the moon. And that UFOs and other unidentified anomalous phenomena may be evidence of them getting around. Now, let me say this about little green men on Mars. There are definitely aliens out there, but they are not from another planet. They are demons posing as these creatures. You say, well, that's archaic, that's anomalous. Preacher, what are you talking about, demons? Don't you know we're past that? Well, the Lord believed in them, and he cast them out, and I certainly do. And the truth of the matter is, if you pastor a church for 48 years, you're going to look at a bunch of them sitting right out there looking right at you. Amen. I see you out there. Oh, yeah. Don't kid me. I've been at this too long. You better believe it. Sometimes I can see somebody come in and I can feel a cold wind coming off of them. I'm really dead as they can be, cold. Not just indifferent. The enemy of the gospel, cold. So aliens, oh yeah, do you believe aliens exist? Preacher, sure they do, but they're not what they think they are. They are spirit beings. Now, how many of you know what an old old-fashioned ladder looks like. Just two poles with the rungs on it. How many know what I'm talking about? Just old ladder. A lot of them are handmade. Take that ladder and twist it. All right? All right? And then take it and twist it up like this. As long as you could possibly get it, continue to twist it until you come to the point to where throughout that ladder you have genetic structure developing. That genetic structure produces building blocks that literally make up what you are. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about DNA, the code of life. How many has ever heard of CRISPR-Cas9? Good. A lot of you to read. You check things out. What is CRISPR-Cas9? It is gene editing. What is gene editing? Gene editing is the ability to go into that ladder. All right? Each one of those rungs. The rungs can't just go this way. They have to go exactly with their counterpart and connect to the other side. All right? So they take that, twist it, and here you have a length of DNA. And this length can be starting point, stopping point, and they can change the DNA sequence. What have you done? You've edited it. What are you doing that for? Well, I want a child with blue eyes, or I want a child who's a basketball player, or I want a child who's big in math. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. A man wrote a paper 20 years ago, and he said the day will come when very few people have children the way the past generations have had them. They'll go down to the local laboratory, and they'll order up what they want, and they'll get exactly what they're asking for. Now, listen to what your Bible says about that. Listen to what your Bible says about it. I want you to listen to this. This is important. In Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 43, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Years ago, I've been at this a long time. Preachers would preach on that, and they weren't too sure exactly what's going on with it. But can you see gene editing in this? Can you see mixing human? Can you see the possibility that this could be used for something like we're talking about here this morning? Yes, you can. Artificial intelligence, it wasn't around 100 years ago. When I came to ministry, came here years ago, there wasn't anything about artificial intelligence. Fact is, there wasn't anything about DNA. DNA was discovered back in the 50s. But I didn't hear it mentioned one time in school because I didn't know anything about it. But DNA now and artificial intelligence now is part of the culture. It's part of what you're talking about. And the kids growing up today, it's all they've ever known. If you're, these kids that are in this house this morning, I'm not giving you anything new when I talk about artificial intelligence, but what I am giving you is the possibilities of what lies ahead. What lies ahead? You see, the good thing about being 77 years old is, like our sister said a moment ago, heaven is growing sweeter every day. I could hear a shout at any moment. Amen. And they can't touch me, because I'll be leaving out of this world. Now, so artificial intelligence is definitely a marker for me that the Lord Jesus Christ may very well be coming soon. Are you listening? It's not something that's been in every generation. What's the other? Well, CERN, for example. CERN, a Large Hadron Collider. It connects Switzerland with France. CERN, it's quite a remarkable thing. As a matter of fact, they're shooting a substance particle around and around at past the speed of light in an environment that is over 400 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. We're talking about, and there's a point, and I don't know where it is, maybe you do, but I've heard it said that you can reach a point below zero where all molecular activity ceases. You might know what that point is. Well, I know this. I know that over 400 degrees, it is, in other words, extremely, so what's the point? They want to get it going around and around and around and around and another one around and around and around until, bang, they bring them together. And it's at that moment that they come together, the great bang. They feel like, they think that it all started with a bang, the Big Bang Theory. Well, let me tell you something. How God did it's his business. The Bible said in Genesis 1, bara. All right? God created. All right? Bereshith, bara Elohim, ha-shamayim, ha-aretz. God created from nothing. He brought it into existence. He spoke it into existence. And that's exactly how we got here. But it's quite a thing. Because when you look at CERN, you say to yourself, what are they really going after? How many of you believe what the government says right off the bat on surface? Well, we got some smart people in, hallelujah. Amen. So you've learned the hard way that it gets filtered down to you, but it may not be necessary. There may be a little bit here, a little bit there, the truth, but it's mostly just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And the truth of the matter, it is. But you see, CERN was built for a reason. What that reason is, I'm not sure, but I know this. I know that it has a potential, and that potential is out there. The man, one of the first directors of CERN said this. He said, we are opening a door, all right? We don't know what's going to come through, or we don't know what's going to leave here and go over there, all right? Now, this is that thing I was telling you about a few minutes ago, the algorithms. Try to find that on the internet. Try to find that man making that statement. Now, you may have to get a different, you know, there's all kinds of search engines. So you may have to find the right search engine to find that statement. Now, don't you think that's remarkable? Don't you think that they've got a new head of CERN? I'm not accusing her of anything or anybody of anything. But don't you think that's remarkable for them to take that down where you can't find that? Because something may come from over there or go from here to over there. That's kind of scary, isn't it? In plain words, something. We don't know what. We're opening a door into another dimension, into another place, and we don't know what's liable to come over here where we are. That's interesting, don't you think? Yes, yes. Did you know they have a statue of Shiva in front of CERN? It was given to them by the state of India. Shiva is one of the Hindu trinity. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Shiva is the great destroyer. It's dancing the Nataraj. The Nataraj is the dance of destruction. Circle, and here's Shiva in the middle of it, dancing the Nataraj. The Nataraj is the destruction. The Nataraj has to do with the rebirth of Shakti. Say, what's Shakti? It's a Hindu word that has to do with life. Shakti, life. Did you know that when someone goes into Kundalini yoga, they get into the yoga trance, they go into Kundalini yoga, that a serpent begins at the base of the spine, and it raises all the way up and puts its head over the top of their head. And once it reaches the top, Shakti comes about. You realize that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Shakti is a force of life. Do you realize that there's a lot of other things that have to do with this life that comes forth from the occult world? Are you listening to the fact that there is a lie of life out there somewhere that is not the true life? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you realize the Bible said in the book of Revelation, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs go out of the mouth of beasts, the false prophet? Do you realize the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter number 9, an angel with a key to the bottomless pit comes down. He opens that pit, and out of that pit comes Apollyon and Abaddon. Both names mean destroyer. Shiva, the destroyer. They come upon the earth, they open up the gates of hell, and the spirit begins to come out. Did you know the Bible says he that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way? Did you know the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, and I believe that's the one doing the letting? Letting in the sense of hindering, okay? Let, the word let, you have to get your dictionary and you understand how let can also mean approval, but it also can mean a hindrance. He that hinders will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Do you understand that you've been given, and this is the grace of God. God is like this. I've learned a little bit about him. He doesn't just spring it on you all of a sudden. He'll give you just a little bit of taste, just a little bit of forewarning, just a little bit to get your attention and say, look, wake up, wake up. Have you ears to hear? Then hear. You got eyes to see? See. If you got a heart, listen, open. I'm showing you something that's going to happen that you've never seen before. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. But I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to idols. not to God. Did I get that right? No. They sacrifice it to devils. Well, what's the difference between a devil and an idol or a stone? Or the devil is alive. The stone's dead. So what that means is that what's going on with Shiva, what's going on with when they reach Samadhi, that's where they, the Shakti life force brings them to that point, whether it be Kundalini yoga or whether it be through that or any other thing, they have reached a point where they are communing with devils. If I don't preach the gospel to you, which I preach, how Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians 15. I declare unto you the gospel. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day, victor over death, hell, and the grave. He rose from the dead. He said, that's the gospel. I've preached that gospel now for 48 years in this church, and I'll preach it till I drop dead or till I'm gone from here. That's the gospel of Christ, not my gospel, the gospel of Christ. And one of the reasons I preach that is because it is the power of God against a demon, evil, wicked spirit that wants to add anything or take anything from it. It's the gospel of the grace of God, how Christ died for your sins. So they sacrifice to devils and not to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now here's what it says. Know ye what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time? Look at the revelation. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, now this is one more of the things that tell me that I'm living in a generation that has not been before. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but at pleasure and unrighteousness. John said, these things are written that you might believe. Neither cometh they to the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Do you want the light? If you want the light is there. You live in a country where the light is so bright and blazing, in this house anyway. You're preaching Christ and him crucified. Oh, how sad for you to come in here week after week. And for the people that are watching, and for those who will watch it later, you know, I'm thankful anytime, whenever. I'm preaching Christ. I may not be around. He may come and get me. We'll be gone. Then who's going to preach? What's going to happen? You're hearing the word this morning. I'm trying to lay a foundation for you. I'm trying to get you to wake up and understand. I know they use the term comfort zone. And a lot of people like to stay in their comfort zone. I understand all that. But the truth is, you better look out. For things are changing now that are out of your control. And they're changing rapidly. Now, how many's ever heard of dark matter? We got a pretty good bunch in here. I better not get up here and flim-flam around and mumble. Oh, I want you to listen to something. This is by Dr. Danny Faulkner. He's on the staff of Answers in Genesis. For more than 26 years, he was professor of physics and astronomy at the University of South Carolina, Lancaster. He's written numerous articles in astronomical journals. His books include Universe by Design. Now, listen to what this man says about dark matter. Look around at the water, rocks, plants, animals, other humans. Grab a telescope, take a peek at the planets, galaxies, other stellar wonders. Now squint through a microscope at the infinitesimal world of bacteria, fungi, and other organisms. You could look for a lifetime and still not see everything that is there to see. But incredibly, astronomers, now listen carefully, Incredibly, astronomers believe that about 90% of matter in the universe is invisible. They call it dark matter. And you know, when I read that, I just said, praise be to that almighty eternal being. He's got a universe out here that you can't even see. And it's right here where you are. Because you see, the Large Hadron Collider is trying to find dark matter. That's one of its jobs, dark matter. Now here's what he says, and I like honest people. And this is a brother, this is a creationist, physics. He said, so what is dark matter? I don't have a clue. If I did, I'd have a Nobel Prize, wouldn't I? Digest that. The more we learn about creation, it seems the less we know. Dark matter is just one of the universe's mysteries we have to figure out. And there's no reason that a creationist might not uncover the answer, starting with God's word as their foundation. Such mysteries about the physical world should cause us to realize how deep the mysteries of God go. We will have all eternity to probe and continually discover more about God's attributes. For now, our attempt to learn more about his glory by studying his creation is just peering through a telescope glass darkly, a dim picture of the majesty that lies ahead for God's people. I don't have him figured out. I don't. I was thinking this morning, I'm sitting on the back porch, watching the squirrels play, listening to the birds, and I thought, what if that's just invisible, like that right there for a moment, and then coming from that invisible world steps a being, a spirit being, pure spirit, and he steps into the womb of a virgin. And in the womb of that virgin, he becomes a man. And then he is born 9 months later, like all the rest of men. Yet he did not come from here. He came from above. He's the Lord of heaven. And to the angels, the Almighty says, now do you see what you saw? Listen to Paul. Listen to him. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, right? Here's what he says. Which in his time he will show who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man hath seen, which no man can see, to whom be glory, honor, forever and ever and ever. Amen. That means Satan has never seen God in his full, true essence. That means had he not stepped from that invisible world into this world of creation that we know, we would never have seen him. But now all we can know of that eternal being is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has revealed that Father to us. And to him I say this morning, blessed be our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah to God. Anything else is just pure speculation. Forget it. You're not going to impress anybody. Nobody knows the essence of God, but he's a spirit being. He's a pure spirit being. But we do know this. We do know he became a man. And 2,000 years ago, that man went to a cross and he died for us. And there he suffered my hell and my torment and took it into his body. And he's laid in the grave, and on the third day he arose from the dead. Amen. I know God because I know his Son. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the little time we've had in your house. Lord, let my life glorify thee. Oh God, let that happen. Let that be. Lord, that would be my highest aspiration. Let my life glorify thee, O Holy One. You know I'm a believer from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I believe. And Lord, help me now. Help me preach your word. Help me minister the word. Open the hearts of the people. Maybe they heard something this morning that sparked just a little bit of interest in their soul that they want to dig deeper and go further with it. I pray they have. I pray this in Jesus' name now. For Jesus' sake, I ask it. Amen and amen and amen.